Good evening. It's so good to have you all join us again. And we've had such an exciting series this time, and we've talked about the kingdom of God or the kingdom come. And just to recap on what we've discussed over the last couple of weeks, just briefly, we basically talked about the introduction to the kingdom and what is the kingdom, access to the kingdom, the principles that govern the kingdom, and most of all, the Pentecostal experience and beyond, living in the Spirit and having a heart after the Lord. And last week we talked about the history of how the kingdom of God came to be in the church. We learned lessons from the early church that operated in the kingdom. The book of Acts covered the early church and the conversion of Paul and the stoning of Stephen, and it covered the aspects of how the early church brought about the kingdom. We talked about also the 20th century church and the outpouring of God's Spirit, how God moved through the early believers in the 20th century. We understood that God was first in everything. Obedience was a top priority, and faith was operated as a result, and God's Spirit was poured out. And lastly, we invited the kingdom to come in. And these are just a brief recap on what we've done over the last couple of lessons. And as we go into tonight's lesson, what we want to do is talk about the kingdom for today. And so Jesus began his ministry on earth by proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is to enter the kingdom and to into eternity. The kingdom must come in and flow out of available vessels. We must be available for God. God can't use vessels that are not available for him. We need to be willing vessels. This series focuses on the elements of the kingdom and how anyone who desires it can be a vessel for the glory and power and authority of God. And that's exciting, that we can be used by God in this kingdom, that we can be blessing to God and to others around us. And so if we have his Spirit and flowing through us in prayer, his words being planted through us in Bible studies, in personal devotions, and his will replacing our will through fasting, others will see him and his kingdom established wherever we are. And people will see God in you. And I think that's important. I think we've been in places where people have said, "What's so different about you? What makes the difference in your life? What can we feel come from you?" And that is the kingdom of God resonating with them, that they're feeling something happening through your life and it's touching them. And that's where we want to be with the kingdom of God. And I began to think about a question, and this question was a good question. And what's the hardest thing about living for God? I mean, you could ask yourself that question even right now while you're watching this. What's the hardest thing I think about when it comes to living for God? And the thought that came to mind for me was consistency. And I had five things that came with this word consistency. We need to remain consistent in witnessing. We need to be able to share the word of God and believe that God's planting seeds when we do it. Remaining consistent in our faith. That's important. Remaining consistent with our Bible reading and with our devotions with God. We need to have a daily walk with Jesus, just to have a closer walk with thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. And what about consistent prayer? You know, there's a lot to be said about those who pray consistently. We all say that we need to do more of it. So how about we do it? We need to remain consistent for God. And also, most importantly, is consistency in fellowship. It's so important that we are able to fellowship with other like-minded believers, with other kingdom-minded believers. It's important to be in his presence. It's important to feel the presence of God in our lives through the fellowship of brethren, praise God. So don't disassociate yourself from that as well. Be consistent in fellowship. And it's important as we go into tonight's lesson that we want to be the kingdom for today. But in order to do that, we need to let our will be God's will. And the scripture says here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, which is the principal scripture for this series, Matthew 6:10 says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This word will in this passage holds a lot of power. The original Greek word means what one wishes or has determined shall be done. The purpose of God. What God wishes to be done by us. In other words, commands or precepts. Or the choice, inclination, desire or pleasure. And so just to bring this together, it just means that for God's will to be present in our lives, to see his kingdom established in us, we must let go of our wishes, purpose, choice, inclination, desire, and pleasure. We must let go of all of those things if we want to see the will of God established in our lives. We must let go of what we wish for in our lives. Fame, money, position, love, popularity, and so forth. All of those things we have to let go of. We must let go of what we think our purpose is and allow God to birth his purpose in us. We need to allow God to put his purpose into our lives. We need to let go of our natural tendencies, urges, feelings, and take on God's inclinations, take on God's thoughts, take on God's purpose. Amen. We need to let go of our special desire and pleasure, and instead allow God to place desires and pleasures in us. We need to be content with what God does for us. The Bible says that he will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. We have need for nothing in this world but save only Jesus and the kingdom. To put it simply, we give him all. Amen. We give him all. And we have, and we take on all he has to give us. So we give all to him and take on all he has for us, for our lives. Amen. You know, one of the most difficult things to do is to take a biblical concept and actively apply it daily to our lives. Even though it's a start, knowing the concept and believing the concept are never enough. Now, there's a great quote by William Feather, and he says this: "We don't need men with new ideas as much as we need men who will put energy behind the old ideas." You know, God's concepts and ideas have been around for a very, very long time. In fact, they have never change. And it's quite biblical too, because God never changes. His word never changes. And so everything about the kingdom never changes. All they needed was someone to stand up and make them happen. And that person is you. And that person is me. We are counted as part of that number to make the kingdom of heaven happen. There's specific ways to replace our will with God's, as mentioned above, sound great in our minds. However, when it comes to doing them, we may find them challenging, especially as we get up each and every day, because every day is a new day. Every day has its own challenges in them. But it's important that we surrender that day to the Lord so that we can find ourselves in the will of God. And so some important questions You may need to ask to consider when you want to submit yourself to God's will. What about what happens when you're faced with a decision about your future? It's important that you think about these questions. You know, a lot of things come up ahead of us, but we need to make sure that those things that are ahead are in the will of God. What happens when you thought was your purpose doesn't work out? What about what happens when you have a right to do something, but it may not be the right thing to do? What happens when you want something that is not good for you or not acceptable to God? And maybe what happens when something makes you happy, but God asks you to give it up? I mean, there's many things that we can think about. I mean, one thing that comes to mind is music. Sometimes you can just listen to quite melodic music, but it has no godly value to it. And so you feel the conviction of God upon you, and God says you need to stop listening to that. And that's just one thing. But if you said, yes, Lord, I will stop listening to that, you've decided to submit yourself to the will of God, and therefore having His will in your life and preparing your heart for His kingdom. Amen? While these are just a few possibilities of what life may bring, they are very real. They are examples of situations that have caused many great people to reject God's will and never see His kingdom in their lives. So the big question is, how do we live each day walking in His will and preparing a place for His kingdom come? So how do we do it? How do we prepare our lives to walk in the will of God so that we can have His kingdom come today in our lives? How do we do it? In the first lesson, Brother Kent talked briefly about the one that would come preparing the way of the Lord. And we know who that is. That is John the Baptist. And in here, John the Baptist came and he preached to the people that the Messiah had come. His job was to prepare the way of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2 and 3, it says this, "And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." He preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So is our job in every part of our life, to prepare the way for Jesus to move and his kingdom to be established. John understood that his will had to die in order for the will of the Master to exist. And it's the same with us today, that our will has to die in order for the will of the Lord to exist in our lives, in order for the kingdom to come in our lives. In John 1:31, to support this, he said, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." He had not even known Jesus before Jesus' baptism. Yet John did the will of God so Jesus could be revealed to Israel. John was beheaded before he could see the full manifestation of what Jesus would do. You know, John suffered criticism. He suffered much discomfort to prepare the way for God's kingdom. And John's life teaches us preparing the way will cost you everything. And it cost John everything. As you know, his head was chopped off in the end. Wasn't a pretty end, but it cost him everything. Preparing the way is not popular. And no, it wasn't popular. Not everyone was on board with popular opinion. And so John, he turned around and he says to the Pharisees, he said, go away, you whitewashed sepulchres. He gave them the what for, you vipers. He turned on them because all they wanted was something that was popular. Preparing the way requires a daily desire to do the will of God. We need to want to do it. We need to do it every day because we want to do it every day. It needs to be a part of our fabric, a part of our hearts, that we may do the will of God. John knew that nothing he endured or experienced was about him. It was never about him. In John 1 and verse 6 to 9, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He lived his life knowing it was all about the one coming after him, the one who would bring the kingdom with him, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour who we serve today. That's the kingdom that we live for, amen, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God, amen. They're all the same, praise the Lord. John 1, 26, 27 says this, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth. I am not worthy to unloose. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And so each of us share the same purpose as John, and that is to prepare the way for God's manifestation of his kingdom. How important it is that God has bestowed upon us his will. He's bestowed upon us this command that we would go forth and prepare the way. Praise God. While our days may not be filled with eating locusts, praise the Lord. It may not be filled where we're called wild men or women. And being beheaded, praise the Lord, I like my head left right where it is. They should be filled daily with sacrifices that empty us of our will and replace it with God's will. We need to be emptied of our own desires, of our own needs, so that we can be filled with the presence of God, so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and be led by the Spirit, amen. John's message was, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's Matthew 3, 2. So it is in our lives. Repentance is a daily death of our will. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 31, Paul said, I die daily. And in other words, we're turning away from our own wills and moving in the direction of God's will. We need to die to our own needs, our own will, and turn in the direction of God's will and allow God's will to be established in our lives. Daily death kills anything in us that will reject God's will and allows a place for him to manifest his kingdom in us. You know, it's important that after repentance that we remember we are empty. Remember, we empty ourselves out. We die to this flesh, to its needs and its requirements. We are empty. If we then turn to worldly pursuit and fill up on those, our repentance will have been in vain. Because we've just filled ourselves up after repenting. We've gone back out there and said, I've got all this good stuff back in here, when it's not good stuff. Because the only good stuff is the will of God stuff. And that's what we should be full of, the God will stuff. Amen. We must take our empty vessels and fill them with godly pursuits. This prepares our hearts and minds for his kingdom to be made manifest in us. You know, what we invest in, digest, and dwell on determines how well we are preparing the way for God's kingdom. Let's see that again. What we invest in, digest, and dwell on determines how well we are preparing the way for God's kingdom. In daily private prayer time with God, we prepare our flesh, emptying out, denying fleshly pleasures, and positioning ourselves to hear from him. Through daily private Bible studies, we build our strength through his word, listening for his voice to speak through his word. And that's important that we listen. We need to listen when God talks to us. It's not a one-way street having a conversation with God. God can speak to us through his word. He can challenge us through his word. He can minister to us through his word. So we can need to be sensitive to the voice of God. This is where God will give us direction for how he wants his kingdom to come for that particular day, for that today, amen, in us and through us. Through consistent habit of fasting, we deny our human impulses. We consecrate our bodies for a deeper walk with God. This helps us to prioritise his will and not our own. And when we talk about fasting, a lot of people think it's just food. Food, yes, we can fast food, and that's very important too. And sometimes it will bring us closer to God. But there's other things you can fast as well. You know, an example would be you could fast social media. Hey, I'm not going to get on Facebook today at all. I'm just using that as an example, of course. Or, I'm not going to eat chocolate today. Look, I like to have a piece of chocolate every day. Or even another one is, I'm going to get up an hour earlier than I normally would to pray. And God will honour that as a sacrifice because he knows how much you love your sleep. And I'm pretty sure we all love our sleep. Amen. Both the early church and our elders had a hunger to see God's kingdom manifest in their midst. They were willing to sacrifice time, fame, money, food, and every earthly pleasure to see this happen. Praise God. And it's important to understand that in Matthew 11 and verse 12 it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. When we see the word violence, we think in terms of physical violence, but this is not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, uses force. We force our dominion over the spirits of hell. We force our flesh to conform to God's will. The violent fight takes place in our flesh and in our spirit. Some scriptures for you to read sometime later would be Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, or 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. But the one for you on the screen tonight will be Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Making way for the kingdom of God is proactive, never passive. It's important that we don't sit down in the reclining chair of life and wait for the kingdom of God to take place, because the kingdom of God will just not fall into your lap, so to speak. You need to be active. You need to be seeking. You need to be proactive in searching the kingdom of God. Because when we search for the kingdom of God and allow God to move in our lives, God wants to do things through us. God will move through us, and people will feel the power and the presence of the kingdom of God emanating out of your life, just oozing out of you, to the point that one day when you were in pressure, when you were stressed, when you were getting squeezed, as it were, the only thing that oozes out of you is Jesus. Amen. That is being in the will of God. Being proactive and not passive. In other words, we open the door, then he comes in. We obey the word, and he honours it. We build our lives on his word, and he protects us in the storms. We ask, then he answers. We give, and he blesses. There's always something we do, and then God does as well. We take one step towards God, and God takes a step towards us. This is about emptying our will and letting God fulfill his kingdom in our life, filling us with his spirit, with his presence, so that we can walk in the kingdom, walk in the will of God. Remember, it's not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, let thy kingdom come, Lord. Let it come in me today, every day. Let it be in my life. Let others see God in my life. And Lord Jesus, whenever I'm feeling down, let me remember that you are with me, God, that your kingdom is with me too, Lord Jesus, as I live your kingdom. And so even though the ultimate power comes from God alone, he will not act without an invitation from us. He wants to dwell in and work through lives that welcomed him in, willingly praying the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come today, Lord, thy will be done. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We thank you that you have been with us and that you have spoken to us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to empty out of our lives our carnal desires, the things that we would want over the things that you want for us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to reach out to you and not to the things of this world. Let your kingdom be established in our lives, that from day to day people will see and know that you are indeed with us, that the kingdom of God shines forth through our lives to others. Let us leave the kingdom for today, for you have put us here for this very reason. I pray, Jesus, that you will draw us closer to you. Strengthen us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.